2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, opens 7 days a week. And now, El Paso history with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Is this on? Testing 1, 2, 3? Hey, it might be. Hey, you never know. Melissa, good morning.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're somewhere. Talk some more and see what happens.
Hello.
You keep talking, they'll find you eventually.
They'll find me.
In the ethos out there. Hey,
it's ethos. Don't say ethos.
Is that bad?
No, that reminds me of the other day.
It's the History Radio Show, and we're doing our thing here. And, it's kind of fun here. It got cold.
Today's the first day of winter in the afternoon. It's the shortest day of the year. Back outside, it'd be dark.
Is that exciting? Or
yes.
Is that,
okay. Well, no, it's not. I hate the dark.
Well, so we got this here radio show. It's about history. We're going to do another one today, and it's on 690 AM as always. And as we get near the reality of this show, we always say Texas history begins in El Paso. And that's not just to be ornery. That's just to be accurate. That's the way it very much is. Where else can we be found?
They can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and they can listen to us live all over the planet and in space where they keep shooting things up and hoping it'll make it to the space station.
Okay, now what about trivia? Let's just move on.
Well, no, we just have one.
I'm just going to move on.
They brought that one. They're bringing it back to White Sands. I believe it landed this weekend. So,
I don't know.
Boeing. Trivia. Yes, we do have trivia both hours today. It should be a fun trivial questions today. We have two questions each hour and a $20 food coupon or a $20 coupon to Mission Del Rey Southwest. And our trivia answer in hour one is going to be for the $20 coupon for Pepe's Mexican Restaurant in Cañotillo. Or the $20 coupon for Mission Del Rey Southwest. And the second hour, we will repeat that, but it'll be a $20 coupon for Amigos. Over at 2000 Montana Avenue.
Ate there yesterday.
Oh.
It was good.
Did you take the family?
No, just me.
Oh,
that is the family.
A loner. There.
Well, I was hungry. That's where I went.
That's at a block east of Cotton, or a $20 coupon to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Also mention, if you go to Mission Del Rey, mention you heard them announced on the radio show, they get a discount if they just ask.
Yeah.
To find out.
Add that on to what they're doing. They're doing some great things. They got some great gifts out there for Christmas. I mean, everybody's talking about the last-minute shopping. There you go.
Oh, take a look over there. Do you want jewelry, earrings, whatever, you know?
Or you got family in from out of town, go there for the souvenirs.
Take them
take
over
home.
There. That's a good place. I'll be eating at Pepe's today. That's all. You guys going to make it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Bernie's here. Look at that. Out of
Ta-da.
The woodwork. How you been, dude?
I've been just bordering on... I'm great.
You've been on the border.
It's been a crazy week, so he's bordering. He's on the border.
The guy has a company called Border Group. That makes sense, doesn't
it?
There
you go.
So Bernie Sargent's here, going to be our history person today for 2 hours, and we're going to attempt to take a look at the history of El Paso in 2 hours. The only way to do that is to short sheet somebody, because, you know, there's so much going on here. You prepared a fabulous little sheet here that I think we should put this online somehow.
Sure, that's fine.
It's a timeline from way back to way future.
2500 BC all the way up to, I think we went up to about 1920.
Why don't we do this?
A few weeks, huh?
Why don't we take a look at the El Paso history that we're talking about? Oh, by the way, the history moment, we glanced over that.
Oh, that's okay.
You going to have one?
Well, yeah, it's a newspaper columnist. It received an anonymous but most entertaining version of The Night Before Christmas. So we'll be going over
casa.
That one. Yes.
This is the one that goes into the casa.
Yes.
My mother used to wander around talking about that.
Oh, did she?
And I finally figured out what she was talking about. Anyway, I was 27 when it happened. But moving on.
Who are you and why are you in my casa?
Yeah, why are you talking about my casa? Hey, but the thing is, the history of El Paso
don't touch
is...
my casa.
Don't do that. The history of El Paso is actually quite fascinating. I thought, Bernie, instead of going from zero, we 2500 BC forward, actually Keystone, wasn't Keystone further back than 2500?
No, well, it's 4,500 years ago, which would put it about 2500 BC.
But they only went to one layer to realize it was that old.
That is correct.
There were more layers under there.
That's the suspicion.
Ah, you see. So that may be old. That's why I say 5,000-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
And, who's going to
– Well, keep in mind
that
wrong.
Years,
the accuracy of carbon dating back then was plus or minus 500 years.
Oh.
And they just took some samples of what they found, which was typically leaf imprints, things like that. To do the carbon dating, so
we determined it's what 4,500 or
minimum.
So we always say what it's 4,500 though.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's older.
The original El Paso.
But to the point of what we're going to do today, let's take a look at the history we have now, because I think frankly, if we set the stage on what's the history that we can see, and there's a lot visible still from the old day. Obviously, the Camino Real still goes through here. It has been paved over a few times, but that's a very historic road.
Right.
1598 original establishment by Don Juan de Oñate, used ever since.
Trails, roads, and railroads really is what made El Paso.
Also, right now in history, you can look at El Paso and say, well, we obviously have the mountains. We have the cultures of the two cities. The border's still here. all of that kind of history has just been something else. And you can wrap that with Chamizal. How in the world did that work? You had the border moving because of the weather, and all of a sudden it flooded, and the flood went south.
Oh, they had some horrendous floods starting back in the 1700s, probably even before that. But as far as actually recorded flooding taking place in the El Paso Basin or the Rio Grande Basin, and there was a lot of floods took place.
That
river changed. That river changed directions many times downtown.
Well, I go down Arizona Street one day, down Rio Grande Street the next day. How do you think it got the name?
Let's move Fort Bliss from McGoffinsville up to Concordia because of it.
All that went on. So what you have now is a permanent Fort Bliss on Lenoria Mesa.
Yes.
And you've got a permanent Rio Grande going down a concrete channel.
Yes.
Right through the middle of town, so the border doesn't move anymore.
That was part of the agreement. The Chamizal agreement was to cement that in so it would be permanent.
So you have all these kind of things you can see now. You can see the 12 Travelers Monuments coming up. Oñate's up there. And McGoffin, Susan Shelby, is over there at Keystone.
Yes.
There's so many things that you can go now and see where they are. I think we should be aware of the fact that not only do we have great history that we'll talk about, but it's still visible and evident. And people could actually do some heritage tourism here and make a tremendous amount of income, if they were so inclined, off of tourism.
And for years we've been talking about heritage tourism being the most profitable type of tourism anywhere. And people spend many, many dollars to go visit heritage tourism sites. I know when you had Al on here, what was it, last week?
Borrego, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about creating the heritage sites with the missions, which
Absolutely.
Attract lots and lots of people. And these people don't come here and look at it and go, oh, that's pretty, and then leave. They stay overnight. They search out more and more. And like we, as folks that are interested in history, the more research we do, the more we find out. It's just incredible.
And also, it's a pride thing for the city. Once you realize what happened, you're like, hey, that was my city, you know?
Yeah.
And I left town at the age of 18 to find fame and fortune in D.C., not thinking I was coming back, not planning either way.
Well, you found Wendy.
Yeah, and then Wendy said, okay, let's retire, but not to Buffalo, where she's from. So we came to here. But the thing, my point is, though, I could have been an ambassador for El Paso had I known the history I know now.
Sure.
And we're not teaching our kids that. We talk about that all the time. But, okay, so here we have what you can see of our history in the missions. Those are Catholic churches that are incredibly old.
Yes.
And I think it can be argued that the oldest Catholic churches in the Southwest, for sure. And east of the Mississippi, you might have another one older in Florida.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much considering how much the Spaniards did here.
Right.
They conquered the entire middle of the continent.
That's right.
But with one swell swoop, as you say, and one fell swoop. And they did that with the Oñate expedition. And so a lot of that stuff is still evident. We still have people wandering around speaking Spanish. I mean, always, you know, because it's permanent. It's part of who we are.
That's right.
I mean, these are all these.
I just stopped thinking about that one.
Yeah, don't take too long. But the thing is, this is all history that has occurred.
Yeah.
And here we are sitting at it. So as we talked about this, I was thinking you got this great list of dates all the way back to 2500 BC. Why don't we go backwards and say, okay, here's what we got now.
Sure.
Here's what it looks like now. And I'm just kind of looking over your shoulder. I'm seeing UTEP up here. I'm seeing it's a big mural we have in here. The Asarco stacks are gone. The dinosaurs there. So all of these things are remnants of the history that's here. And I'll bet you if we did a deal with Southern New Mexico and got the dinosaur tracks actively able to be looked at on a tour basis, mm-hmm. you'd see a lot of tourism going there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that draws just a whole different segment. That's why when we were working, you mentioned Keystone briefly, when we were putting that whole plan together over 20 years ago, the idea was to have parks within a park where you would talk about ecology, you talk about anthropology, archaeology, you know, and botany and so on. The studying of different entities brings different people.
Oh, yeah. And dial this back a few decades and go back and say like the 40s and 30s and 20s, and you got the Tros people.
Yeah.
There's a legacy left here.
Oh, big time.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Trost and Trost started their facility here, their offices here in El Paso in the early 1900s, there was a need for creative architecture. And, you know, the Trost family came up with the idea of having reinforced concrete steel structures for a number of reasons. One is, you know, they looked at some buildings that were in California that withstood earthquakes. They looked at the fire hazards that were predominant in some of the old wooden structures. And they decided, you know, we need to come up with a different plan, something that's sturdy, going to last a lifetime. And, you know, when I look at the Trost design buildings, and yes, Margaret, we're talking about your family. When I talk about when we look at the Trost design buildings, it's a legacy that lasts a lifetime.
And we still have it.
We do.
Well, And also, I think El Paso was making a turn at that time. They were becoming big city, and
yes,
they wanted to show off a little bit more. They wanted to go beyond, like I said, the clapboard buildings, the adobe, you know, the sleepy adobe town.
Yeah.
We lucked out that the people of El Paso hired these guys.
Absolutely.
And kept hiring them.
Well, you look at the population in 1910, it was 39,279 in El Paso.
1910?
In 1910.
39,000.
In 1920, it was 77,560.
That doubled in a decade.
We exploded. Oh, yeah. Big time.
And so what do you attribute that to, the Mexican Revolution? Or
military had a little bit to do with that, but a lot had to do with transportation coming through and the fact that we had this great opportunity for doing business on both sides of the border.
Well, talk about transportation, because now we have jets and airports. But I think the big push was when Standard Oil decided to put an airport here, simply because they flew planes to check their oil pipelines.
Yes.
And I believe the beacon on the front of the mountain was put up by Standard Oil originally.
I don't know. It makes sense to me. Yeah,
they wouldn't hit the mountain. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that has gone on that I think tourists would come see. They'd come see where Pancho Villa hung out. If you had a Pancho Villa seminar somewhere or a museum, this would be a good place for it. Things like that. If you had a museum, even to like German people.
Sure.
Germans have come through, or Lebanese. I mean, there's so many nationalities that have chosen El Paso to land on. The Mormons.
The Chinese Americans, the Mormons.
Yeah, on and on and on. So there's a tremendous amount of people that could be understood historically that are just sitting there.
It was a mosaic of cultures.
Oh, it is.
Well, even if the city would support the museums that we have now that have those kind of exhibits. You know, you've got the International Museum of Art downtown.
On Montana,
that has the exhibit. They kind of have a little Mexican Revolution. But if they just kind of went together and started promoting these items, what we have, and helped them along, you know, I mean.
Do you see the city itself promoting the museums, International Museum of Art?
I'm sorry, jumping ahead, but
no. But what if they did?
If they did, it would be great.
I mean, so what's wrong with that? Well, we didn't produce it. We can't promote it. I don't know where that's coming from.
It's just their vision is somewhere else, and their ideas are somewhere else, but it's away from what heritage tourism is.
Heritage tourism is the real reason, I think, to get involved in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just interesting as can be.
Yeah. I mean, and our audience is pretty much behind us 100% on that. It's just the city isn't.
So let's talk more about things that have gone on. We sort of sloughed over the World War II era. But World War II was huge in El Paso.
Oh,
Fort Bliss had so many things going
on. Gosh, yeah.
They had hundreds and hundreds of those B-24s going through here, going to somewhere to bomb something. And they came through here on their way and did training all over the place. A couple of them hit the mountain.
The paperclip.
Oh, the operation?
Operation Paperclip. I mean, the whole war, you know, you think about it, was focused in this area.
A lot of it. No bombs went off here in anger. But
World War I, World War II.
Yep.
My gosh.
And so why was the military here to begin with? They were here because the Congress put them there with the Indian Wars back in the 1870s, 80s, 90s, back in that era.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible era itself.
Yeah.
Because look at all what was going on like in the 1870s. What does your paper say about the 1870s? We had the Lincoln County War was going on 120 miles up the road.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Salt Wars hitting the fan here in San Elizario.
No, two different Salt Wars. You had the one, the San Andreas Salt War, which was kind of initiated by James Wiley McGoffin, but that was 1850s. And then the 1870s, we had the Salt War of San Elizario. Yeah, so, there was lots of activity taking place in the 1870s. We talked about, the population, if you drop back to the 1870, before the railroad came in, it was only 731 people.
Wow.
So it was like, and that was just El Paso proper. Now, if you went over to San Elizario and Socorro and so on, they were much, much bigger.
If you had the county. Yeah.
If you had the county, yeah. But we also had the military purchased land at Hart's Mill for a new, larger facility in 1879.
And then 2 years later, the railroad.
The railroad came through, absolutely.
Cut the parade ground in half.
It did.
Every day when they stopped the trains in the middle of Fort Bliss.
It did. Well, what we found out, we've been doing a lot of research on the architecture. I'm helping out Max Grossman on his architectural book he's putting together between John, what's not Sean's last name? From the museum.
John, which museum?
Hamilton. John Hamilton.
Oh, John
I'm
Hamilton.
Sorry. Yeah,
John. Okay. I thought you said Sean. John.
John.
Okay.
John Hamilton.
Yeah.
We found through newspaper accounts and so on and maps that the actual buildings down there, the older buildings, were built in the probably 1883, 1884 time frame. There were adobe structures that were put up, and they had actually solicited requests for adobe bricks from all over the county to build some of the initial buildings down there that became Fort Bliss.
Fort Bliss at Hart's Mill. Okay.
But then when the railroad started coming through, they were bringing lumber in. That's when they started to build the officers' quarters and things like that.
Yeah, all of a sudden you could build 2- and 3- and 4-story buildings and they wouldn't fall over because adobe doesn't stack up all that well.
No, no, especially if you don't maintain it. So those are the kind of things that we're finding out through lots of extensive research. And I want to thank John for his research. And Max for putting us all together.
We got John coming in early January, by the way.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
He's good.
There's a mural at Fort Bliss in the basement of the old William Bowman Hospital.
Yes.
That he and his wife are going to come in and tell us about.
Yeah.
That's pretty
really,
phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Piece of art, yes.
I found, is it your part? I found, he said, hey, what do you want to talk? Let's talk about
it.
So the idea of El Paso being sort of like a very modern city now. I mean, I was in the 60s as a kid. I lived here. And I remember that we wouldn't get the movies until they'd been bicycled all over the place. And then we would finally get the first run movie about a month after it hit, like, say, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because they only had 2 or 3 copies that they'd send out this far.
Yeah, they fly them out in their biplanes.
And that's, well, maybe not that bad. But, I mean, that's what I remember as a kid. And then now, okay, you got modern satellites. Everybody gets it all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a different world now, but there were that was part of our history.
I remember those days.
Oh, yeah, and coming to Sierra Blanca.
Yeah.
As soon as they're done with the
copy. It's just now showing up.
Then we'll go to El Paso. I mean, bless their hearts. But anyway, that El Paso is a very modern, on the cusp of everything city, but we have got a background, a heritage, and a history that hardly anybody has.
Oh, it's so diverse.
We've got more. I think we have better history than New York City. Get a rope, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, if you go back on a timeline and a time frame, there a lot more happened here than happened over there, I think, that was incredibly important to the humanity and the culture, et cetera. So going back even, it's 21 after. We got to take a break here.
Oh.
Bernie and I, we can get to talking forever here.
No, we do that a lot.
But we shall probably do a commercial.
Okay.
And shall we make up some trivia questions?
I already made it up.
Ah, you did.
Aha.
Hey. What do you got?
Okay. The first question for a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo or a $20 gift certificate to Mission Del Rey Southwest is Keystone Heritage Park is roughly how many years old? And we'll take it because you guys were flaunting numbers all over the place.
And the special today is the red or green chili chicken enchiladas.
I was just going to ask that. Is that a trivia question?
No.
You're
interrupting
Hey, Bernie.
You're going to be in trouble when you get home. You're interrupting my important
part. Hey, Bernie, what's the special at Pepe's?
Hey, guess the special today is the red or green chili chicken enchilada.
Oh, you can have red or green?
You betcha.
Can you mix them
it's
up?
It's Christmas colors.
Thank you, Sergio.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's start this
Where
over
the heck
again.
Are you going? What, you got more questions?
Oh, I've just banged the counter. Keystone Heritage Park is roughly how old? That's the first question. And the second question is, what type of tourism is the most profitable tourism?
Oh, come on. You're not asking.
It's Christmas. Come on.
Giving
this stuff away. Santa Claus just twisted my arms.
And so. I got another couple of coupons for Mission Del Rey if you have a third caller here. There's none right now. But
they could ask us a question.
That's okay. But see, nobody's calling.
Oh, come on.
They're all out shopping.
Today's the busiest day of the year.
And they're saying, quit asking questions. I got to get out of my car.
I know.
In the store here and...
So call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Everyone's invited to the coolest fest in the Southwest.
Winterfest, presented by the Hospitals of Providence and Providence Children's Hospital, offers ice skating fun at the Downtown Arts Festival Plaza.
8 to skate and free to see.
Children 5 and under are only $5.
More info at epwinterfest.com.
from iHeartRadio, number one for podcasts. Service.
We honor our veterans and Gold Star family members on service. Stories of hunger and war.
Thanksgiving, I was on KP. The sergeant says, let's do something special.
World War II veterans are sharing their holiday memories and more on Service. Stories of hunger and war.
I wanted to get back to California for Thanksgiving.
I come home on a train 5 days before Christmas.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on here. We got a couple of phone numbers open, 544-5876. We're giving away stuff. We can take three callers. We have three coupons to something. And we have one caller up now, 544-5876. They'll let you know here a couple of things. There is archery today at the Museum of Archaeology. That's what they do, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They shoot things and hopefully at the target.
Perfect weather.
212-3272 if you want to go out there and give that a shot. Also, just to let you know, we do have a YouTube channel. It's El Paso History TV on YouTube. Go there, check out stuff. Mr. Bernard Sargent is standing there looking at you with 16 different segments there, Bernie.
Yes.
That was a lot of stuff we did last year. Or this year, or some year. And we have some more in the works. We'll see what happens with that. But that's go there, check it out, and become a member of our Facebook team as well by going to Facebook El Paso History Radio Show. What has you got over there, young lady?
Well, we've got this is exciting coming up, and we want everybody to tell their kids and their grandchildren about this one. UTEP College of Liberal Arts is holding the 23rd annual El Paso History Day, Saturday, February 22nd, and this year's theme is Breaking Barriers in History. Students are encouraged to choose any topic in local, national, or world history, and they can investigate its historical significance and relationship to the theme by conducting extensive primary and secondary research. And the registration closes Monday, February 10th, and they have a master schedule of judging for teachers and such, and that'll be coming up. But if you'd like more information, you can contact Charles H. Martin at 915-747-7055, and they do need volunteers and judges, so give him a call. It's going to be a great fun. And we've got him coming on in January, right?
Well, we asked him to. He's got other conflicts. I don't know when he's going to make it. He didn't commit to it.
Oh, I think.
Well, he has travel people and stuff going on. He couldn't tell me when.
That's a great program.
But we're going to talk about it no matter what.
And kids can win scholarships.
This is primarily aimed at seventh graders throughout the county, and they have them all over the place. And it's other kids can come too, but that's when they teach a lot of history in supposedly in Texas history. They hardly ever get to El Paso history, apparently. Oh, if you have time.
Yeah, but you can go to state and to national in Washington, D.C., like, I believe is where they have it. Yeah.
It's like that science fair thing.
Yeah.
It's a history fair. And your topic can be El Paso or not, but it has to fit their kind of like attitude.
And we've had kids go to state. We've had a couple of kids that we've coached that have gone on to state and to national. So, yay!
There's one open, 544, one line there, 544-KTSN. We got Mark and Dave going to Mark. Mark, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Mark. Which question did you want to answer? The Keystone one. Okay, roughly how old is Keystone Heritage Park?
2500 BC or 4500 years ago.
Ah, you're a smart man.
You're reading her notes.
He is.
Are you locked in this room, hiding in here somewhere, reading her notes over her shoulder?
He listens very well.
Mark, how in the world are you, dude?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, we're surviving nicely. We're just doing radio as we always do. And you've now become a part of the History Warriors yourself, being a Chamizal guy.
Yes. But and also, I'm also on the County Historical Commission.
And that's the other thing you do is the County Historical Commission. How are things going there?
Fine. It's going very well.
Melissa has a question for you.
Oh, I was just going to say, did you want the Pepes or did you want the gift certificate to Mission Del Rey Southwest?
I think I'll try the gift certificate.
Oh, please. I think you'd be real. Have you been there yet?
No, I have not.
you'll be. I think you'll like it very much.
Anybody on your Christmas list, you can find something in there. The jewelry thing will blow you away. If you got to buy jewelry for somebody, it's neat stuff. And if you don't know what you're talking about, like I did some days, they'll help. They'll assist you.
Well, he's very much involved in Native American, so I think he will be very pleased when he goes over.
They have Tatahumana baskets, all kinds of stuff down there. All right, Mark, well, thank you for that. Are you going to make it to Pepe's today?
I'm going to try.
All right, give it a shot. We'll see you out there. Thanks for playing. Hold
thank
on.
Thank you very much.
Hold
thanks,
on.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.
Thank you, sir. And if I manage to cut somebody off, you know the number. Oh, wait, we got Dave. Dave's not here. No, Dave is here. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Here's Dave.
Good
hey,
morning, Dave.
Dave's
Dave.
At home.
Dave's here. What's up, Dave?
Okay. Well, you asked why El Paso grew so fast in the 1800s. It's because it was a conservative community.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? There's no argument.
Why, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Why does Albuquerque have such an unbelievable, fantastic history museum, and we have a peanut here?
We are a
why
small...
Why do they have a science, incredible science museum?
I can answer your question, I think. They are a big
science,
city in a small pond. We are a small city in a big pond. And the rest of Texas...
We're United States' largest town.
Well, yeah,
okay.
Town mentality.
You may be right,
but
yeah.
I can argue with him on that one. What happened was they have a lot bigger. They went in when they had the semiconductor business that was going on up there. They had a
Rio
lot
Rancho,
bigger corporate,
Sandia
yeah,
Labs.
Sandia Labs. They had a lot bigger corporate base than we do.
Almost up there. No, well, we waste our tax money. We waste it. Waste our tax.
Dave, what do you think? What do you think about living
anyways,
on? What do you think about the idea? I'll ask you a question.
What?
What do you think about the idea of promoting El Paso because of its heritage?
Well, of course, that's the answer to your other question, but people tour for heritage.
Yeah.
And, there you go.
Community.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a city council that put up no cruising zones everywhere, and I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars, and so have my friends, going to Reno for hot August nights, going to L.A. for...
Yeah. No, there's a lot to be said for that. All right, back to the trivia question.
Well, he answered it.
And so what do you want?
He answered the one that says, what type of tourism is the most profitable? And he said heritage tourism.
Heritage.
We
yeah.
have available yeah. to you, I've actually got another Mission Del Rey coupon if you want that, or Pepe's. It's a big decision.
Dave's
still here. I didn't cut him off.
Dave?
Hey, Sergio, that light is still lit. He's on. What happened to Dave?
Oh, there he is.
Oh, your phone's cutting. Your walk around phone in your house is cutting out. That's what's going on.
No, I'm driving. No, I got Verizon, so it's a mess.
Oh, okay. So did you want the Pepe's coupon or did you want the Mission Del Rey Southwest coupon?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, you got cut out again.
Pepe's.
Okay.
All right, find a spot you can talk to Shelly because otherwise you can't
pull
get
over.
The certificate. Well, Dave, thanks for playing. You're right. Your attitude's correct about history, I do believe. Hold on here, all right? Thanks a lot. I hope he's there. Shelly, I hope he shows up there. If not, make
if
a call
back. Yeah.
Maybe Dave's not here.
Call back.
Maybe Dave's not
Dave's
here.
Dave's not home.
Hey, you never know. Never that. Moving on to wherever we were. We got to take another break here because Bernie Sargent's here, and he's ready to talk about
Is that
about
the reason we have to take a break?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
we need to take a break in between.
There are so many one-liners that we can't say on the radio.
I would like to do that at home. Can I do a commercial break at home?
How do you do that?
I don't know. I'd like to figure that one out.
I like Sunday night silent movies myself.
Yeah, that's true.
What the heck are you people talking about?
I live with this man.
I know that, but that doesn't mean I understand any of this. Shall we take a break and come back?
Yes, we shall.
Oh, you Facebooked him shot
not
already.
Not yet. I'm working on him.
You shot him.
I shot him good, yes.
Ah, good. Yeah.
But I shot the Bernie, yes.
Stick him up on the wall.
Okay.
Call a number if you feel like it.
Call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a five-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz, Vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are high, and you can't win if you don't play.
But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings anytime. In just two taps, you could win the next multi-million dollar jackpot. Search for lottery.com in the App Store or go to lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play, and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text PROUD to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University, offered 100% online. Text PROUD to 79645. That's P-R-O-U-D. To 79645.
Hi, I'm Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL and founder of The Crate Club, the number one tactical and survival gear subscription box in America, curated by former Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and Special Forces professionals. I know being prepared matters, so if you're looking for a great gift, choose Crate Club. Also, from now until the end of the year, for every annual crate plan you buy, we will donate a crate to a U.S. active duty service member. So help us support the military community and give the gift of Crate Club today at crateclub.com. That's CRATEclub.com.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Life goes on. We're here talking history. Got to tell you about the Southwest chapter of the Railway and Locomotive Historical Society, meeting Wednesday, January the 8th at El Serrape Restaurant. It's on Montana. That's at 6 p.m. Program is Big Boy Visit in El Paso. They probably have some fabulous pictures.
Oh, I bet they do. Drone.
Get yourself involved in that. 591-2326. That is on January the 8th. Harvey Girls, they're back in action on January 13th, meeting Monday in the afternoon at Passenger Station downtown, 700 West San Francisco. That's at 2 o'clock. The program is Fred Harvey Legacy Continues. It always will. Press Deer Cup does that one. Smell the smoke, hear the cinders. No, see the cinders, hear the whistle. Do all that train stuff. I don't think they do any of that. Can you sit the lady in the corner? Ooh, that's, you hear the whistle?
Set somebody on fire. Yeah, look, cinders.
Hey, let's put some sand in your face. Yeah, oh,
somebody running around the restaurant on fire. I like that.
591-2326. Call them up. What do you got?
Well, I've got the El Paso Corral. The Westerners International 26 will meet Friday, January 17th at the Holiday Inn, El Paso West. And their program is going to be the Apache Origins in El Paso, presented by Max Grossman. Dinner and program cost is only $20, and visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP by January 13th to 759-9530. 3-8. Wednesday, January 21st, you're starting. I love this one. We want to start the new year with a right on the right foot with a right attitude, and they're going to drag you up the mountain, up
where?
The, up Directismo Trail.
No way, Jose.
I know. They're going to take you straight up the mountain and right back
better.
Down.
I know better.
Yeah, it'd be more like dragging you back down. Participants must bring water, weather-appropriate clothing, and such. And then Saturday the 4th, they're going to have a arts in the park, and they're going to have fish printing or gaitaku. That's I had to bring that one out because I thought that was so funny. The Japanese used to slap their fish onto paper, and that's how they recorded their catches.
Oh.
So I just thought that was amazing.
Slap your fish.
You slap your fish down here on the paper. And so then also the 5th, they're going to have a woman's hike. So get out there by calling Diana Moy at, I put her phone number.
Tramway. Call the tramway.
I'll call the tramway. I had
just
her number.
Open the door and yell tramway.
Tramway,
and
Diana.
And they answer.
But it's
never mind.
Time to get back up on those mountains.
Okay. Well, you know, I too much money. Somebody hit the big lottery and just buy the tramway.
Just buy the mountain.
No, just buy the tramway.
No, just buy the mountain.
The mountain
keep
is
it to
not for sale. The mountain is not for sale. You have to buy the
I'll
state.
I'll bet you the state would give it away.
Nah, well, we won't. Anyway, back to reality here, if there is such a thing. There's a lot that's gone on in El Paso. Bernie, the 1900s, you saw so many highways. The automobiles showed up. They started putting, and El Paso was the place to put a highway to or through.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to get to California from Dallas, you got to go through here.
Well, they started with the Bankhead Highway, which was mid-1910s, and then the Lees Highway and
Which highway?
The old Spanish Trail.
The Camino Real?
Español.
No, no, falling from east to west.
Oh, the east to west. Well, there wasn't much of a Spanish trail except from like San Antonio, was it?
Well, no, the old Spanish trail, I know. It's kind of a misnomer. Old Spanish Trail was a highway that went from Florida to Santa Monica.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they just, because the Spanish Trail, they picked up that moniker, and that's what they called it.
Well, you had the Spanish land in Florida, and they went to California.
Yeah. But okay. All those highways were coming through here. It was interesting because there was a big push in newspapers to promote the paved roads, okay, to make sure that people understood a paved highway would mean more tourism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Las Cruces newspaper was pushing El Paso to endorse paved highways. Now, if you go out to Pepe's today and visit with us, there is a stretch of concrete, which is the original first concrete highway in the state of Texas.
It's not right at Pepe's, but Pepe's is where it was.
It's actually in Anthony.
Yeah, but you can go up there and see the old concrete.
Yeah, you can see the old concrete there.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it's in better shape than some of our – never mind.
Oh, well, it could be.
Also, if you're in Canutillo, something to remember that very few people understand or realize, some people don't care about, but I like it. The fact that the first school in Canutillo was founded in 1911. It was called Lone Star School. And it had a stretch of area that the kids came from, 12 miles long by 6 miles wide, all the way down to White Spur Park, and then all the way up to the state line.
Those were Bosky children.
Bosky children, yeah.
I don't know what
Lone
they
Star
were.
School.
Well, back in that same area, you have a really nice timeline you cooked up here.
Thank
Elephant
you.
Butte Dam
yeah.
was completed in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
The flu bug hit the fan here in 1918.
Yeah, it was brought over mainly from Europe after World War I.
Really?
And the soldiers came over. In fact, I think the first real blast of the flu took place at Camp Funston, just outside of Fort Riley, Kansas.
Well, somehow it got the kids of El Paso. There were hundreds of them.
Well, they came in by train. All the soldiers coming back, they brought it with them.
Yeah,
and we had
spread.
more people die in 1 month in that year than the whole year. Died from any other cause. It was incredible how it just blasted through here.
Well, there's a lot's gone on here.
And within a few months, it was gone.
And backing up a little further here, looking at your timeline, the Anson Mills had a map of a dam that he wanted to put the base of Cristo Rey.
Yes.
And people, that was like 1892 you have here.
Yeah.
But they finally said, no, let's move this thing up into New Mexico, because Zach White owned the entire Upper Valley pretty much. And he didn't want that thing on his property.
Well, a lot of the farmers and ranchers from the Cristo Rey all the way up to the state line said, no, we can't have that.
They already were farming, doing great.
Yeah, because where we live down in the valley by the river, we would have been under about 250 feet of water.
And where you are, or that same area from Cristo Rey north to Mesilla, would have been all underwater
yes.
and not usable for crops.
That's correct.
So to heck with that. New Mexico at the time was a territory.
Mm-hmm.
So pushing New Mexico around was fairly easy from the Texas perspective of El Paso people who got a hold of Taft in, 1912?
Mm-hmm.
Taft came – oh, no, he came through in 09. When did Taft come through?
I think it was 09 or
06. Oh, so Taft showed up. He got a hold of – the boys got a hold of him and said, hey, we need some federal help. And so they got a dam up in New Mexico with all the rights accruing down to El Paso. And as New Mexico became a state, it was like, well, what's this?
Yeah, and the
you signed the contract.
It was the least amount of impact on the populace, too.
Yeah.
So that worked out very well, having it at Elephant Butte.
And now, years later, they're still arguing over whose water it is. Yeah. It goes right by Albuquerque. It goes right by Truth or Consequences. It goes right to El Paso because we own it, supposedly, whatever.
Well, we claim.
And actually, it's interesting because we get more water than New Mexico does in the sense of waterings each year.
Yeah, we do draw a lot of water out.
Yeah.
I know we get irrigation on our property at home, and it's not as big. It's not a farm by any stretch.
But that was because it was a cotton field to begin with.
Yeah, but Texas managed to control the irrigation rights for small tracts.
Oh yeah.
We've got friends that have larger tracts of land in New Mexico. They don't get as much water as we do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They just went through the lawsuit for quite a few years, and it just got settled. We were like,
"Well, so
oh,
you're going to put in some pecan trees and some cotton back in the backyard?"
No, we got rid of pecan. We took it out because the dog kept eating them, swallowing them whole. So
we couldn't afford the vet bills.
There's all kinds of issues with that. But you're not supposed to grow dogs and pecans on the same acre.
Yeah, no. Obviously not.
Dogwood might work, but
you haven't figured that out yet. Well, the history of El Paso continuing as we do, we're trying to go backwards here.
Yeah. Let's 1919, also just for a piece of information, sure. we're all realizing the benefits lately of all the fracking and so on and the oil that's coming out of the ground. 1919, there was a big push by the citizens of Texas to make sure that the citizens of Texas could in some way, shape, or form purchase land with oil rights. Up to that point, the state wanted the oil rights on all property that was not owned by private citizens.
Greedy state.
Yeah. And so they pushed really hard and they managed to get those rights lifted so that a private citizen could actually own oil rights.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And in New Mexico, I don't think you can. I think it's a different world up there. I'm not sure. I have to find that out.
I didn't look into
but
that.
But the point of El Paso history, those are all things that have gone through here. Backing up a little further, we talked about the fact that in the 1870s, before the railroads hit El Paso, there were so many things going on. I mean, they were chasing Victorio.
Yeah.
The Indian Wars were winding down but still quite active. And the Fort Bliss, they moved it out at one point. And
they did for a couple years,
and yes. And San Elizario had a salt war, and Congress said, well, wait a minute, let's put that back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So Fort Bliss came back, and that was when you said they went to Hart's Mill and then Lenoria. And after a while, with the Mexican Revolution looming, the U.S. government figured out, well, we should keep some troops down there.
Yes.
And it's sort of like it all kind of worked out, but it was kind of a weird set of reasons that we had so much military activity here.
Yeah. And you mentioned Zach White, and you mentioned, and we talked about the talk coming up here about the railroad and so on. 1899, Zach White petitioned city council for a franchise to operate the first electric rail in El Paso.
Zach did it.
Zach did it.
And McGoffin was in on there somewhere.
He was the mayor.
But, I mean, he was in on helping that.
Well, he was an investor also.
That's what
and
I mean.
The mayor.
That's what I'm saying. The guys were all in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what else went on back in here when you talk about here? You said there was a previous salt war. You're talking about the salt that was up in White Sands area.
Yes.
And that
yes.
was a war that McGoffin tried to run with a cannon from Fort Bliss. Turned out to be not a good idea.
Not a good idea. He ended up having to pay reparations for the damage he did, and they did. There a few people did get killed in that little skirmish that took place.
He probably should have.
Yeah.
Also, back in the Butterfield and Overland stage is all the makings of a great movie or two. Mm-hmm. But that only ran for like 18 months, 2 years, somewhere.
Well, 3 years max.
Three total,
yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of kiboshed because of the Civil War. So it went from 1858 to 1861.
Civil War changed a bunch of stuff around here.
Even it really did.
There weren't so many battles. Troops did go through here.
Mm-hmm.
Sibley came out of San Antonio and ended up in northern New Mexico, got his butt kicked and showed back up.
Yeah.
And tail in the between his legs, whatever you want to call it.
Sibley had a little problem drinking, too.
I think that added to his issue.
Was it tequila?
Well, no. He liked his southern whiskey.
Whatever he could get his hands on.
Yeah. In fact, Sibley had a series of opportunities in the United States. He ended up in Egypt. They hired him to train their soldiers, but he was drunk all the time, so they fired him.
Oh, my.
Which wasn't really good, considering they're not drinkers in Egypt.
They don't do that. Well, that whole era back in the 1870s, 80s, the biggie was the railroads, 1881.
Yeah.
That was like the hugest thing that happened. And hugest is not a word, but it is now.
Well, we can say that.
Well, it was very big because, I mean, it changed everything. All of a sudden, everything that was in New York on a shelf could be purchased and sent to El Paso.
Yes.
On a train. So things changed quickly.
Very quickly. Very quickly. 1884, the city council agreed to support and fund the first public free school in El Paso. for at a cost of $17,500.
So they started making things happen. Yeah. Right about in there is where the Women's Club began. Mm-hmm. And the Women's Club made sure that we had the first kindergarten, symphonies, yeah, things of this nature,
the culture.
Say the phrase, the men settled the West.
The men settled the West, so the women, they civilized it.
That's it. That's the word. Yeah. So all that was going on back
and
there.
And Winchester created the equalizer.
That's another matter. But also, going backwards, then you go down to like the 1850s era. That was when the first salt war happened. But also, McGoffinsville was established in 1854. The Butterfield Stage was 1858. Mm-hmm. And Sibley was 1861 coming through here, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
Back it up a little further, you had all the stuff going on. White's Rancho, Frontera Rancho, by Frank White. Now, who was Frank?
T. Frank White had settled that piece of property, and he thought that that would be a good place to have the beginnings of a new community. And he was hoping that he could get the military to set up, you know, to lease property from. They did for a short period of time when they were actually studying the borders between Mexico and the United States, but they didn't opt to stay there. So he didn't have that lease money coming in. He did for a period of time sell merchandise to the folks that were traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast, the covered wagons. At White's Frontera Rancho, there was an article written, or I should say an entry in a journal by a 13-year-old girl said she stopped counting at 1,000 covered wagons parked waiting for the river to recede to head west.
And you know when you take your stuff over to the trash dump over there on Atlantic Avenue,
yes,
just to Donovan, that's about where they were.
It's really close to there.
Yeah, so I mean you had wagons all over the place out there at one point in history.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff as we go backwards in history from now, and we'll see what else we can get into. Taking a break here is what we do next here. 544-whatever?
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Want military-grade gear delivered directly to your doorstep? Join over 250,000 customers already geared up with Crate Club, the box built by Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force, and Special Ops guys. You'll receive seasonal tactical and survival gear essentials to be better prepared at home and on the road, and a digital subscription to our community. Products include backpacks, helmets, hammocks, holsters, vests, and more kick-ass gear. Get it for yourself or gift something unique this year. Rise above the ranks at CrateClub.com. That's CrateClub.com.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Through December 31st, for every $25 gift card purchase at thecheesecakefactory.com or at any of the Cheesecake Factory restaurants, you'll receive a free slice of cheesecake, redeemable in the new year. Visit thecheesecakefactory.com for more details.
Wing your way to L.A. for our sold-out iHeartRadio Alter Ego 2020, presented by Capital One.
Alter Ego!
You'll go backstage to meet Billie Eilish. And Blink 182.
We will see you at Alter Ego.
Plus, get tickets for the show where you'll see Coldplay, The Black Keys, The Lumineers, Shade, and more. Listen to Alternative Radio on iHeartRadio for a chance to win.
And hear it on iHeartRadio stations nationwide or tune into LiveXLive.com on Saturday, January 18th.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, here's something you can take off your bucket list if you do it. And here it comes. Here's the opportunity to hike Mount Crystal Ray. And if it's on your bucket list, get out there. And here's the good part. At this time of year, Randy Limbard runs a history hike. And that's on Monday, December 30th at noon. Hey, Randy, noon. That's a good idea. 6 a.m. is a little not good idea. So thanks a lot, Randy. Now, family and friends are in town. You want to exercise off a little turkey or whatever's still left. You still eating turkey, Bernie?
Absolutely. No.
We haven't had one, though. We were going to do it, but now we're going to see.
Bernie needs
house
a turkey, in case you're wondering. Okay, there you go. But anyway, this Cristo Rey hike is kind of interesting. 2.5 miles each way. You got to come back on your own. And it's a great thing to do because they talk along the way of what happened here.
It's really fun because you get up to that mountain and you look out over the valley on all sides and all angles,
including Mexico. The stuff that went on.
Yeah, three states, two countries. And you can see the Rio Grande Basin, and you can kind of envision what it must have been like years ago.
But also when it flooded, they went around the back of Cristo Rey over to Artovinos. That's why they call it a desert crossing, because they went around the mountain the other way to get out of the mud.
And the food was good.
And the food was better. Yeah. The Artovino people served margaritas all back in there.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, get a hold of call these people up if you want to get involved. No reservation. They'd like to have a $5 donation if you're a nice kid. Do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's on the 30th, December, noon, hike up Cristo Rey. Call 328-4110. What's up?
Okay, if you want a break from shopping or family, I'll tell you this. You need to head over to the Sunset Film Society at the International Museum of Art, where you can join film historian Jay Duncan this Saturday as he brings you, and many Saturdays, you can enjoy him. I can't even talk today.
Read the thing.
I got caught off here, yes. As he brings you free movies and also shares interesting information, and you may have known about some of his wonderful films. And today's movie is Through the Eyes of a Child. And then the next one's coming up on the 28th, The Poseidon Adventure. That's what I always think of as a holiday film.
Really?
And something you need to put on your calendar coming up for January 26th, the Ive Attorney Society for Arts and Adventure is presenting Dueling Pianos featuring Ruben Gutierrez and Billy Towns. That's going to be a great event. Call 543-6747 for our museum for beautiful event details.
Have you ever gone to those bars, saloons, nightclubs, whatever you want to call them, where they have the dueling pianos?
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, no.
They are so much fun. Because they'll play songs by request.
Okay.
But they're usually, we know Billy quite well. He's a very funny guy.
Oh, Billy's great.
Yeah. And he's talented.
He's very talented.
He can do anything.
If they pull it off like the Howl at the Moon and some of the other places.
Oh.
That'd be so much fun to watch.
Great stuff. That's Bernie Sargent. We're all here till the next hour because the news is now upon us.
You.
We shall wander back in the room here after that. You going to be here?
I wonder if I will.
Bernie might be here. Melissa might
be here.
I'll be here. Oh, I think I'll show up. See you after the news.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Where's Crawford? It's-